Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder and president of Inspiring Children Foundation, Ryan Worthington.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Seth Porter. I am Mark Leger, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I had the pleasure of meeting our guest at an event that we will talk about this evening on the show. I also had the pleasure of speaking with our performance guest, and both inspired stories in me that I would like to share one of them. And that is to say, at this event where I met our guest, it was at the Malibu Fig Ranch. We had Carrie on the show, and what a pleasure that was. And her story and the story of Malibu Fig Ranch, in my mind and from what I can tell, keeps growing in some beautiful ways. And here's yet another fine example, as I learned that there were Sunday healing dinners being held within the Inspiring Children Foundation for a community one can say that has a lot, and a community one can definitely say has lost a lot. And by lost a lot, I could say there in Malibu, so many homes have been lost, so many neighborhoods, property, things, memories, friends, neighbors, and for that matter, hopes and dreams, inspiration, so much has been lost. And to have our guest bring people together along with Carrie at the Malibu Fig Ranch and have them share. Again, we'll talk more about that in a moment. I've had the pleasure of attending a couple times in support and also to get to meet the various people and support in the way that Life Changes can, as this moment here. And one of the most poignant moments of one of my times there was a woman who came up to me. She didn't know me, and I didn't know her, but she wanted to welcome me. She wasn't part of the welcome committee. She just took it upon herself and to get to know me and make sure that I was okay, like as if I was a part of that community. Well, I'm not technically in Malibu and haven't lost in the way that people in that community have. But she approached me and she said, "Are you okay?" She extended her arms and she gave me a hug. And I was about to ask her, "Are you okay?" And I happened to notice she was dressed very cool, very eclectically. And I had to say, "I love what you're wearing." And she said, "Oh, this." No, she didn't say, "Oh, this old thing." She said, "Oh, this. Well, this was given to me by a friend of mine. This was given to me by somebody I just met a couple days ago, because all of my clothes, I lost them all in the fire." You wouldn't know by looking at her. And she came to make sure I was okay. If she lost her clothes, she lost her home. And she was there at that community welcoming people, even people who had not lost anything in that moment. And it made me think, especially after then speaking with our performance guest, made me think of a song that I hadn't thought of in a long time. And it came out, I think, in 1998. So much wisdom comes through songs, as you'll hear tonight, and comes through stories, as you'll hear tonight. And I thought, well, here's one to share, because we just never know. There's a song that Mark Willis wrote and sang in 1998 called "Don't Laugh at Me." I'm a little boy with glasses, the one they call the geek. A little girl who never smiles because I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground who always chosen last, a single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend, but is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasures from my pain. 'Cause in God's eyes, we're all the same. And someday, we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. I'm the cripple on the corner. You pass me on the street, and I wouldn't be here begging if I had enough to eat. And I don't notice that our eyes never meet. I lost my wife and my little boy when someone crossed that yellow line. The day we laid them in the ground is the day I lost my mind. Right now, I'm down to holding this little cardboard sign. So don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. 'Cause in God's eyes, we're all the same. And someday, we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. 'Cause I'm fat. 'Cause I'm thin. 'Cause I'm short. 'Cause I'm tall. 'Cause I'm deaf. 'Cause I'm blind. Hey, aren't we all? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. 'Cause in God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday, we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. Was actually written by Steve Seskin and James Shamblin, and then performed by Mark Willis. And I sung it once, and I barely got through it, as I barely got through it this time. But someday we'll all have perfect wings. In the meantime, thank God for organizations like Inspiring Children Foundation. And so with that, it brings me great pleasure. Our episode is titled Helping Kids Heal, Grow, and Become Their Best Selves. This is our episode 838. We have the pleasure of having for our interview guest, Ryan Wolfington, who is an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, and the founder and president of the Inspiring Children Foundation. Welcome, Ryan, to the Life Changes Show.
How you doing?
I'm better now.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If you were to summarize what that emotion was for you, what did bring that up?
What brought up the emotion? I grew up teased, and I grew up crying myself to sleep. And I also have had the opportunity of being on stage and having lots of people come up and want to hug me later on in years in life. And I used to think, where were those people when I needed them most? Well, I didn't realize until years later, after all those performances on stage and having all those people come up and want to know me and talk to me, that they all had experiences like I did in different ways. And then and all of a sudden it brought me it just one big circle. So to answer your question, when I go into that emotion, more than feeling what I was feeling, I'm feeling like this is everybody's song.
100%. But we had a young woman who was 14 years old, and she was the number one tennis player in the country. She could have easily been a, you know, straight A student, very smart, humble, so the type of person everybody liked. And that's not common in competitive sports, if you're number one in the nation, to be humble and friendly. And she could have been a model, perfect shape, tons of friends, great family. And I took her on a meeting with the CEO of the Hilton, because I really think people learn by doing. So we bring a lot of our young leaders to real life situations and put them in those situations to learn. And at the end of the meeting, I asked her, I said, it seemed like you were nervous at one point. And she was like, oh yeah, I was nervous the whole time. And I said, well, when did you start to get nervous? She's like, I don't know. I'm nervous all the time. I'm like, okay, but when? Like when we first started driving there, when we were in the meeting. She's like, no, I'm nervous all the time. I'm like, what do you mean all? She's like, morning till night. And I said, well, nervous about what? And we do CBT and DBT. So I was like, you break down, what are the negative thoughts that you get? And like, what negative thoughts were you getting? Oh, well, oh, like a ton. Like what? Oh, well, I'm fat. I'm ugly. I'm stupid. No one likes me. I'm horrible at tennis. She was number one in the nation. There's something wrong with me. I'm never going to get better. I'm a weirdo. And it was in that moment that it was like this adult aha moment. I was like, wait, if she feels that way, imagine right. what every other 14-year-old feels like.
Right.
And even if we're under the delusion that we're cool and everybody like me, I was popular. You know, I had a twin brother when twins didn't exist. I had a nice car. I could dance. I could do the moonwalk. I had parties. I was popular. But looking back, I was deeply insecure. I was lost. I didn't even know who I was. I didn't even know what confidence was. And looking beyond that popularity, I was deeply insecure and had all the same doubts that you're talking about. So even if you're the lucky to be the nerd, who are the better of us, the theater kids, the mathlete, the genius kid who's just smart and everyone thinks he's weird. Like if you're lucky enough to be that, or if you're the kid that like me that was like super cool and popular, you're still struggling and suffering inside until you find the real thing. And that's the journey of life, is how do I find peace of mind? How do I find joy? How do I find real confidence? Not the confidence that they show you in the movies, or that you know, that you have a certain amount of money or a certain amount of power or a certain amount of fame. You know, that stuff is pretty fleeting, but the real inner confidence.
You said if you're lucky that you get to experience the quote unquote successes of this life, whether that's money or fame or whatever, financial success in business or, you know, pretty girl in a relationship, what else? You had that, right? If you're lucky, you have it when you're young so that you realize that isn't all.
Well, I always say there's two things you're really lucky if you have when you're young. If you have suffering at a young age and you're one of what I call the sensitive ones, the sensitive people, that you can't turn off your awareness, you can't numb your sensitivity to the world, then you're inclined towards anxiety and depression at a young age. And to me, it's a gift. And that these people that we meet are the gifted ones. They just don't know how to deal with their gift. So they get overwhelmed by their gift and they doubt their gift and they start to think that they're cursed or there's something wrong with them, when really there's something extremely right with them. So that's one. You're really lucky if you suffer at a young age, because then you can spend the rest of your life healing and growing instead of kicking the can down the road all the time and always running from the very hero's journey that we're all called to do. The second piece is if you can go and chase love's imposter, and and like taste it. For me, it was the cute girl, the girlfriend, the car, the party, the high, the fun times, the being super successful, people looking up to you, money, power. Like if you can taste that, it is beneficial to taste it young, because then you realize it's the Holy Grail. It's an illusion. It's a massive scam. Which I guess is part of the hero's journey, like to see what love isn't, so you can find out what love is. And unfortunately, most of us need to taste. Am I allowed to curse on this show or no?
No, okay. I'd rather you didn't.
Well, I'll say dog poop, dog poop. I would say people need to taste dog poop covered in chocolate. Like the short-term pleasure that exists for high school students that we deal with, they think it's chocolate, but it's really dog poop. And unfortunately, we have to do that. We have to taste the false chocolates of the world until we find the real one. Does that make sense? So,
a lot of sense. a lot of sense. How do you work with a child who, so in the case of the first part of that, you're lucky if as a child you have this. Well, it's hard as a parent. It's hard as to let the child go through that. How does one, especially you as the mentor that you are, the consummate mentor, help a child in that time still have the experiences they need, but also be able to guide them towards being able to see what that's for or how they could use it going forward?
Well, the human soul is more powerful than all of us. So we can't stop the healing transformation that many people call anxiety and depression. And don't get me wrong, there is big D depression. There's very real depression that is a clinical issue that needs to be treated. But a lot of times, especially with teenagers, a lot of their anxiety and depression is their life changes that they don't know, and their gifts that they don't know how to manage. So it's not for me to stop it or to let them go through it. It's for me to help them understand what's happening so they're not overwhelmed by it. And then to give them the tools to understand it and how to navigate it and how to master their superpower so it can be a force of good instead of something that overwhelms them. And yes, for us, it's like educating the parents, educating the student. Like, no, there's not something wrong with you. You're not chronically ill. You're not forever doomed. You know, there's actually something really extraordinary about you. If you're a 15, 16, 17-year-old and you're not having a lot of anxiety or even mild depression in this day and age with the systems that exist, then I'd be more concerned with that because societal systems aren't the healthiest. And teenagers shouldn't be okay with that. You know, it's actually a sign that there's something really, really bright inside of that person. They see the hypocrisy of the world. They see the ways in which things are unfair or maybe dysfunctional. And they just need to learn how to forgive that, how to understand it, how to not judge it, how to not be upset with it. Learn how to find love in the midst of all of it.
Is this something that you could see or are seeing as a class, or is it an adjunct time at school possibility for kids?
Well, when we started 25 years ago, the goal was to give young people what I wish I had been given. Like, why don't they teach you how to be physically, socially, emotionally strong? And spiritually, if that's relevant to you. Like, why isn't that integrated deeply into every aspect of your school day? Not one class a day, but integrated into all things and then integrated into your home life. Like, we really didn't start taking our physical and nutritional fitness to heart really in our country until like the late 80s and 90s. And for healthy food, I mean, Whole Foods only existed like in the 2000s. You know, emotional and mental well-being is the next frontier. And you know, we envisioned creating an environment that was an ecosystem that fed all of those, a holistic system that helped all of those aspects of yourself. Because if you don't invest in your whole self, there's parts of you that are going to atrophy and are going to suffer. So, yeah, I envision it. Our foundation is what we envision. And we envision that being in every school system, corporate system, as just a healthy part of any ecosystem.
And it does sound like there are potential for classes, or definitely classes and coursework kind of thing, but it's more of a holistic approach.
Yeah, to everything. And yeah, I mean, can you turn it into a class? I mean, we have 10 pillars of healing and growth and high performance living. That's what we call our curriculum. And do we have programming, you know, in this hour you learn mindfulness, in this hour you learn emotional regulation, in this hour you learn how to heal your relationship with your family and your friends, like conflict resolution? Sure. And you can coursework this. And it should be like, it's all the courses I wish I had been given in college. It's amazing that we're taking, you know, advanced geometry or calculus, and the majority of us never use that. And yet, all of us have to master our emotions and learn how to harness our thoughts and feelings. And yet there's, to my knowledge, zero curriculum on that in public schools during high school. Some colleges, there's this great professor, Dr. Murphy at Stanford. He does a course called Heartfulness. Mm. You know, he's like, well, let me teach you how to integrate heartfulness into your life. Great.
Yeah.
You know, but he's few and far between, unfortunately. I mean, the Yale class on happiness during COVID, it was like the number one class in Yale history of signups for freshmen. Well, yeah, of course, because people are starving for it. And so our foundation was like, well, let's not complain about it. Let's just do it. And that's what we've been doing. And it was an experiment of like, let's see if it works. I felt I knew it would work, but you know, you don't know until it's proven. And then, you know, 25 years later, we know it works.
What was the first inspiration for you into this when you were needing what, or when you were leaving what, where were you when you said, this is where I need to be?
Well, I was at the peak of my career, making almost $1 million a year. Back then, that's probably worth probably $2 million a year. And, you know, 27 years old, president of a company that I founded that was doing very well, and beautiful condo and car and life. And everyone's like, wow, you're doing great. And yet I just knew there was a huge void that was lacking in me. And I could see if I continued on this trajectory, I'm just going to end up being part of the miserable masses. And I just don't want that. Mm. And I could see the peers, the people I was working with, that were massively successful, but they weren't successful. Like, what? How do you define success? And despite a lot of superficial habits myself, I always knew success looked a lot deeper than those things. Like, I wanted to have a happy family. I wanted to have a good marriage. I wanted to be a good parent. And I knew I was lacking. So I think the whole thing started with my own, when I now look back and say depression, escapism, addictions to things, healing that. And when I healed that, I was like, that's not hard. Like, why isn't that mainstream? And then, you know, when I started the foundation, it was really organic. I actually was doing the work for 3 or 4 years before I actually made it an official 501c3. It was just when people come into your life and they plant the seed of hope and wisdom inside you, it starts to grow. And then you can't help but want to give it to someone else. It's like a positive virus. So, and you're like, I have gold here. I wish someone had told me this when I was your age here, take this information. And that was happening for years with a couple of young people at a club I was at. And it just kind of grew organically. It was an organization before I even knew it was an organization.
an idea whose time had come, and you ran with it. It came to you, and thankfully it did. And you've approached it with your business acumen. Like, you've actually found a way to make it make sense.
Well, you know, it is, charity's interesting. Like, I've never been one. If you had asked me when I was younger, would you do charity? I'd be like, no, you know, I always felt charity was a lot of waste. A lot of people want to feel good about themselves, not necessarily do good in the world. And I had a skeptical view of it. Mm. It isn't, that's obviously not all true, but that was my perception. And when I did get into it, I was like, I'm going to do the opposite. Like, it's going to be all heart, no gimmick. You know, all depth and quality, not volume. And, you know, that's what it's become, you know, and I'm definitely really grateful for it.
So it's become, and what has, become because of it. And I'll give just a couple examples that I was really struck by. A young lady saying, before Ryan, I really had no desire to live, had no motivation for my life. I didn't see the importance of living. Another young lady said, Ryan invited me at a pivotal moment in time. It ended up actually saving my life. And she went from flunking out of school on the verge of suicide and ended up graduating with a 4.6 grade point average. This is this is beyond. This isn't, there's an organization and it's doing good work. There is a person who lives today who says this and experienced this because you exist and what you're doing exists.
Well, you know, I definitely don't take credit, nor do I take blame. If I were the one who gets the credit, then I would also be the one to blame for people that didn't change their life. The reality is it comes down to the individual and their own choices. You know, the old saying, you can lead someone to water, but you can't make them drink. I do think there is an intuitive or like a serendipitous higher power that puts people in front of you. And they put people in front of you that either are going to bring you down or bring you up. And I'm just very cognizant that when people are brought into my life, it's a sacred moment. And I take it very seriously. And I do my part. Now, me doing my part doesn't always result in them having a dramatic improvement in their lives, because I can't control what other people do. And it isn't up to me. It's up to each person. And the credit for those people you mentioned really isn't mine, because what I'm sharing with them is wisdom of the ages that have been here thousands of years long before I ever showed up. It's just they recognize wisdom when they hear it. They wanted it. They went towards it. You know, there's a lot of people, like, I'll be honest with you, when I was young, if I was 16 and there was a program like ours, I probably would be like, no, I'm not interested. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to the party this weekend. I'm going to get high and I'm going to hook up with some girl. Like, I had no interest. I would think that was corny, you know? And, but I think people, they know when they're ready to change, when they've had enough pain, when they know down deep that what they're chasing isn't real and they want something more meaningful. And the two people or the few people you're referencing and all the people have come through our program that have gone on to do great things. It's 100% because they chose to. Now, parents make it possible. The parents do all the hard work and get very little of the credit. And I always say our job is to show up like after they've already taken the ball down the field to the 20-yard line. And we help the parent and the child get the last 20 yards, right? Now, do we play a role? Yeah, I mean, I think our environment is as good as it gets. And I don't say that to boast. It's just, I wish they were better. I wish there was thousands better than us. But it's not hard to be the best because our educational system in high school, middle school, college is very mediocre. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's very destructive. So for us to create a great ecosystem isn't really hard, you know, and but it really does require young adults that are divergent. You know how hard it is to say, I want to seek my best self, my physically, socially, emotionally, and mentally as a 15-year-old or 16-year-old. They're all all your friends will make fun of you. Like, oh, you're a loser. Because in high school world, in Mean Girls, a movie, in like girl world, they used to say, or Mean Girl world, doing the right thing and being your best self isn't cool. You know, now when you're 30, and everybody has to pay the bills, and there's a whole nother metric for what success is. But in high school, it's like, who can roll the fattest joint and who picks up the most girls is the coolest guy. And that's a pretty messed up metric. And our foundation is like, no. It's who can have the best attitude, who can be the kindest, who can be the most honest and hardworking, who can seek their better self with joy in their heart, who can heal their relationship with their parents, who wants to let go of anger and resentment. Wow. Like, that's the winner.
Wow.
But our society doesn't celebrate that at the awards banquet, you know, at the homecoming. That's not really what's held up. So it really is the child or the young leader that's the heroic one, because it takes a lot of courage to be in a program like ours as a young adult.
Well, we're talking about inspiringchildren.org, and that is the website where you can learn more about it. You can support, you can donate, you can attend events. The tagline, one of them, is transforming lives through a whole human approach. You're hearing that tonight here with Ryan Wolfington, to physical, social, emotional, and mental health. I want to talk about a quote that I heard, and it happens to be from Jewel, and you can fill in, that she said, and I'm paraphrasing, the foundation gives psychology for life, an ability to be mindful and aware of thoughts, and an entrepreneurial skill set. The rest they earn, as they earn it, they build their internal intrinsic confidence, et cetera, et cetera. Please fill in.
Well, yeah, you know, I was just, when you said the whole human, I was going to say, well, that's really Jewel came up with that philosophy and that curriculum to be a whole human, not a human full of holes. Uh-huh. And it's kind of like the story of her life. She went through pretty much, you name it, she went through it. From an early age, living on her own, trauma at home, eating disorder, abuse, homelessness, trauma, anxiety, depression. And she found what she calls these elegant solutions, behavioral therapies that she stumbled upon, many in nature, to learn how to heal herself because she didn't have the money or the resources. And as she got older, she's like, look, I came across some of these great pieces of wisdom from Rumi or from a variety of different philosophies. And she gave them to herself. And she's like, well, how can I put this into a curriculum to give it to other people? And, you know, that's how we met, because her book really was a beautiful expression of that. I saw that it was identical to what we were doing, what her foundation, what we were doing. We started working together. And we kind of merged her program into ours. And she's been a gift because it's not like a celebrity endorsement. She personally mentors the children. The one young woman that you mentioned, you know, attempted to end her life twice. And now she's at Stanford. She just got back from Oxford. She was nominated to be a Rhodes Scholar. And Jewel mentored her literally from the hospital bed to present day. Mm-hmm. And she gets it because she's lived it. And that's a big part of our program is we hire lived experience experts, people who have gone through these things as the primary credential. Like if you have a clinical degree in psychology, wonderful. If you have a master's, wonderful. If you went to a great college, wonderful. But your number one credential is, have you been there? And did you do the healing work to take the journey to your better self? And Jewel personifies that.
Speaking of, that's beautiful. Speaking of lived experiences, you have this project-driven learning that is a big part of what you do, and you've kind of mentioned it already, but if you could just, in short order, it really makes sense. I know in therapy we talk about stuff, but to actually put somebody in an experience where they may actually in real time experience some of these things, that's a great time to be working on this. How does that work with you all?
So just imagine 25 years ago, I'm all excited to teach children about physical, social, emotional, mental well-being. You know, pretty much nobody signs up. So we created programs that tap into a child's innate passions and interests. So we have a tennis program, arts program, music, entrepreneurship, event planning, video production. And when you tap into a child's passions that they already have, they become very interested in that project. And instead of telling them what they should learn, you're finding out what they're interested in, putting them in those projects that are a little bit at their level and a little bit above their level. So they're striving to expand their skill sets. And what we found is that if they're passionate about something, then they're willing to do other things that they normally wouldn't do in order to be great at that. Like, oh, you want to be a great tennis player? You want to be a great musician? If you want to be a great musician, you got to be emotionally and mentally fit. If you want to be a great athlete, you got to be physically, socially, emotionally, and mentally fit. If you're a whole human, you're going to perform better. So the children and the parents were much more able to receive why doing mindfulness or learning about emotional intelligence was relevant to their life when it was tied to their passions. Mm. And then add the next layer. I don't know about you, but typically we have struggle in our life on a Saturday, and that's the day to deal with it. So we have a peer-to-peer mental support system that if you have an issue in that moment doing this project that you're on, you can turn to somebody on your left or your right. You can pick up the phone immediately and talk it through and get like an immediate peer-to-peer therapy session. Mm. Now, contrast that to the system that exists. You'd have to wait until Tuesday or the following week when you're able to schedule a one-hour appointment.
Or if you're looking at your classmates, they're you're competing against them.
Well, and the challenge that you have on Friday or Saturday that triggered and came to the surface, you don't want to wait until you have a therapy session the next week to deal with it. You deal with it right then and there. And we have an ecosystem of peer support where our staff, our fellow students, they all know how to help heal and facilitate each other's healing. So we address it right there on the spot when it's open, when their interest is alive, looking for an answer. Now, if the system we have now, even if a child has therapy, which like the majority of society doesn't even have access to therapy, let alone have therapy. But even if they did, they'd have to wait until that hour the following week to try to conjure up a memory of what they felt on Saturday and then to talk it through. And what, at the end of the hour, you stop talking? I mean, I talked to a girl the other night, you know, for 2 hours. She's going through a major life transition, and I can't end the call at the end of an hour because there's another session coming. So, you know, we're creating kind of pioneering new models that are not only less expensive, but more effective for young people to address their emotional and mental health needs in real time, instead of the old model that is pretty rigid.
Mm. Wow. Well, it sounds like this is definitely just the beginning of this conversation. And if you all want to be interested and rather are interested and want to get involved, inspiringchildren.org is where you can learn more about the program, the successes. I mean, they'll touch your heart, and also how you can donate and also be involved, events and fundraisers and all that kind of stuff. Can we talk about, or is there anything else we need to say on that about how other people can get involved and learn more?
Yeah, I mean, we're a program in Vegas, but we're duplicated throughout the country. We're, you know, 5 houses where people live, 6 days a week, programming from 8 in the morning until 6 at night. However, we did do like a large mainstream nationwide thing called the Not Alone Challenge. And anybody can do it. It's the largest mental health campaign in history. We got everyone from CEOs, in fact, the CEO and founder of iHeartRadio, which I believe this is played on, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, athletes, musicians like Jewel and Bocelli, and many actors like, you know, people from all walks of life have done the Not Alone Challenge. And we're always looking for people to champion that at their school, at their company, in their communities, or just to do the challenge themselves. And if they go to notalonechallenge.org, there's a free set of mental health tools. They can accept the challenge on their social media. And yeah, if they want more information, they can go to inspiringchildren.org about the organization at large.
Great. Thank you. And let's plug what you're doing at Malibu Fig Ranch.
Well, you know, it's neat. Carrie Clasby, who I met 30 years ago, I used to work with her husband. I didn't see her for a good 15 years, and I ran into her at a farmer's market in Vegas about 7 or 8 years ago. She had built this nationwide network of organic farm-to-table distribution company, doing extremely well. And then she lost everything in the Woolsey fire. She lost her business. She lost her house. She lost everything. So she started to do these healing dinners on her farm for the Woolsey fire survivors, the people in her community. And then when COVID-19 happened, she did them then to help people come together and heal. So I happen to be on her farm where we do our retreat center for our youth. She lets us use her farm and during the recent fire. And then when it was over, I said, you know, if you want to go back to doing those dinners, we could get the Woolsey fire alumni who've already gone through this 6 years ago to help mentor the new people going through it. And Carrie's very much like always looking to help people. You go to her farm, there's 5 or 6 people, you know, improving their lives at all times around her. And it's beautiful, as you saw, like people are coming, telling their story, how they lost their home in the Woolsey fire, and they're sharing their healing. And then somebody who just lost their home recently is sharing their healing, and they're all healing each other. And then people who have never lost everything are like taking stock of their own gratitude and being aware of how much they need to be grateful for. And meanwhile, we've got this guy, Colin, who's an incredible musician.
Yes.
Colin Martin. And he performs music. And then we have Chef Thomas, who does this beautiful farm to table dinner. Yes. It's a scene, right?
Yes.
In Malibu on Pacific Coast Highway. And it's free. You know, it's donation led, you know, to support. So people can come and eat and connect and heal and And, you know, our foundation's really grateful to be able to sponsor it and to make it available.
Wonderful. So thank you for plugging that. More info on that at Malibu MalibuFigRanch.com. But of course, do you have it up on inspiringchildren.org as well?
Yeah. And if you go to Malibu Fig Ranch on Instagram or Inspiring Children on Instagram, it's all there.
And then, of course, Not Alone Challenge and hashtag Not Alone. All of this is also available on social media, so find them there. We have the links at the Life Changes show page. Ryan, I thank you for taking the time. And you had something that you shared that I think is amazing, that I had not heard it in the way that you shared, that people could walk away tonight and change something significant in their life for the better. Do you mind sharing that with us before you go?
Well, when you asked me, I thought, you know, I could tell you meditation, which is one of the most powerful tools in the world, but you've heard that. But one of the first things I do when somebody comes to me and they're suffering with not wanting to live or having depression or anxiety is I get curious. And one of the pillars to your well-being is, like, have you let go of your anger? So I like to know, like, who are you most frustrated with? Who are you most angry with? Who is it that annoys you to high heaven? And if you really, really want to change your life in a better way, identify who or what that is and just begin the journey to let go of that frustration, let go of that hate or that irritability. And it's a practice. You have to keep letting it go. Until it's gone. It doesn't mean you don't speak up for yourself. It doesn't mean that you don't stand up for what's right or articulate that something isn't fair. But we can choose to speak up, but not hold on to hatred and anger.
Yes, go on.
And if you do that, you recapture your own peace of mind. The trauma of a situation is made exponentially worse by resenting it. If we can let go of the resentment, it's a pivotal piece to healing trauma or a difficult conflict with somebody.
Which we all need for sure. So Ryan Wolfington, thank you so much for your time and for doing what you're doing. Again, Ryan Wolfington on the Life Changes Show page. We have all the links for him there, but you can go directly to inspiringchildren.org. Not Alone Challenge, was that .org as well?
Yeah, notalonechallenge.org.
.org, okay. And then, of course, MalibuFigRanch.com. Ryan, looking forward to the next Fig Ranch event and to more coming from your camp. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Margaret, and my daughter Annie has just buried her service dog. She is withdrawn from the family, and I want to help her. I need to know if she is depressed or simply grieving. How do I discern the difference, and how can I help her?
Precious Margaret, that's a really good question, and one that comes up often because the two can feel very similar on the surface. Grieving is a natural response to a specific loss, usually the death of a loved one or a pet or another major life change. Grieving can cause depression, and I believe that is what Annie is experiencing. Annie's depression is understandable and is related to her grieving. Grieving typically involves waves of intense sadness, but moments of relief, warmth, or even joy when recalling positive memories. Depression often feels more constant and pervasive, with a persistent sense of emptiness, hopelessness, or numbness that doesn't lift, even in positive situations. Grieving usually eases over time. It doesn't mean the pain disappears, but people generally find ways to adjust and heal. Depression tends to linger and can worsen without treatment. It doesn't naturally resolve in most cases. In grieving, self-esteem is typically intact. The sadness is directed outward toward the loss. In depression, people often experience feelings of worthlessness, self-blame, or guilt unrelated to any real event. Both can involve things like sleep changes, fatigue, and appetite issues. But in depression, these symptoms can be more severe, long-lasting, and not clearly linked to a particular loss. Grief usually brings deep sadness, and grieving is a natural, usually temporary reaction to loss. Depression is a mental health condition that can happen with or without a specific loss and often needs treatment. However, I intuit that with your loving support that you can easily assist Annie in shifting from depression to grieving. Grieving, in the case of losing a beloved pet, is absolutely natural. One thing you can do, if she seems open to it, is suggest that she create a memory box filled with memorabilia, and it could also be very helpful to suggest creating a small photo album or tribute, as this can also help her move from loss to gratitude for the wonderful time she shared with her beloved dog. It might also be helpful to join her in celebrating how amazing her pet was and let her know that her dog will always be an inspiration to all who experienced its amazingness. One way you can do this is by having a memorial celebration and invite all who loved and appreciated Annie's dog to attend. With your love and support, I see Annie easily shifting from depression to natural grieving and feel you can see full recovery for her. And, dear Margaret, by asking your question, I see how much love and support Annie has from you, and she is blessed. Thank you for all you're doing to assist her during this sad time.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
Well, it's time for our performance segment, and our performance guest is a genre-blending artist, a singer, songwriter, and a very wise young man, I have to add. We welcome Seth Porter to the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Seth.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And how did you get so wise?
I think that it comes from pain. I've had a really tough life, or at least I did growing up. And it was through pain that I was able to transform myself into a better, wiser version of myself. So, I hope that answers the question.
Oh, yes, it did, actually. And I think people are going to get a sense of all of that as we go through this. As a matter of fact, might be great to jump right into the first song, because I think it says a lot to what we're talking about. So what are we going to hear, and where did that come from?
Sure. So the first song is my story, the things that I've been through, the most difficult parts of my life. And to me, it feels like taking all of my pain that I've been through and turning it into love, because I went through some hard things, but ultimately I took that pain and I created a song that can be enjoyed and listened to, and I think that it's really beautiful. So,
and actually, before we hear it, there is a connection, obviously, because you were introduced to us by the Inspiring Children organization. Tell us that connection.
Yeah, so I was really struggling with depression, suicidal ideation, anxiety, addiction, and I was fortunate to be introduced to Ryan and the Inspiring Children community, and they took me in and taught me how to heal, taught me wisdom, and through meditation, healthy eating, exercise, and a whole holistic approach, I was able to heal, and I'm happier than I've ever been, so...
Wow. Well, and here's at least part of the story in this song, Lonely Lullaby, written and performed by our performance guest, and it's pre-recorded here on the Life Changes Show, Seth Porter, Lonely Lullaby.
My whole life, my mind's felt weaponized. Deep inside part of me always cries, trying to recognize all the lies. But the truth doesn't always seem simple sometimes. Lonely no matter how hard I try. Social anxiety on the rise. I get close to somebody then cut the ties. Wonder what made us go so awry. Probably trauma from high school. They beat me and leave me with bloody eyes. Just me and my headphones alone in the hallways. Minding my own business, wanting to die. Telling my teachers I'm alright, but cuss down my arms that I just would routinely hide. And I never do it, but wanted to kill those kids. Lighted up like it was Columbine. For all of the bruises I made, make new excuses. excuses, but looking back, how did nobody realize? Guess I can only blame me for keeping the pain inside. Thank God for the teacher who wasn't completely blind. Dreams of me filling up bleachers like the ones I get hit behind. I'd sit in a room writing poetry, sick to my stomach, knowing that what's coming next never kind. I could still hear that bell ringing in my thoughts like it's a danger sign. Too nervous to eat a lunch, I would just skip the line. Never socialize, knife to the arm or a sip of wine. Doing anything I could just to survive. Suicide confide, carrying around that dictionary in my backpack, looking for new words that I could rhyme. Lonely lullaby, take me to another place other than my mind. I just want to fly away to somewhere happier, yellow candy skies. And every time I close my eyes, I like it better than my life. I'm honestly just hurting way too much and I'm sorry. Yeah, so sorry. I'm rapping like it's for survival again. Put down the sadness and picked up the pen. The only time I don't want my life to end. Judged and I'm hated by all of my friends. A cost of creation, they can't see my lens. Two Christmases crying alone in the bed. Don't know the disorder, but something ain't right. It's an internal war that I fight in my head. Thought I'd be selling out records by now. Haven't put out a single one instead. Confidence though, probably never will. Ain't chasing no fame or no bread. I got a recorder, I'll end up dead. Brutal but true, I meant what I said. People around me pretend that they with me, but know that they're not when they leave me on red. Ask for a hiker, a coffee to talk, just need to get some of this weight on my chest. Every time there's an excuse, just tell me the truth, enough with the chest. I take more offense to you saying things you never meant. Dancing around me like pawns on a check. Ironic, cause when they play games in real life, I always get left. No invite, no message, no text ever sent. Got no one to turn to, the writing is how I vent. Never ending cycle of me, just playing pretend. 22 years of upset, regret. The whole world gonna turn its back on me, what did I expect? The mirror shows a face ain't no rival except. I sit and reflect, relentless reject. Never content with the pain I collect. Memories taught me they sit and infect. Heart full of dreams but my mind interjects. Fighting myself on my own biggest threat. Try to move forward, fate redirect. Lonely lullaby, take me to another place other than my mind. I just want to fly away to somewhere happier, yellow candy skies. And every time I close my eyes, I like it better than my life. I'm honestly just hurting way too much and I'm sorry. Yeah, so sorry. Got a million reasons I feel I should quit. Put in 10-hour days till no win or a hit. No people who make a call have it all quick. I work for everything, nothing legit. I don't tell these stories by choice, it's my only outlet. Have to use it like medicine, I'm deeply sick. It's bloody evident, ain't it? How my head won't stop spinning. On charges like tricks, but the breakfast ain't winning. Cheerio kid, time to swallow your spinach. I annex this life like the US to Britain. I've gotta break free and reclaim independence. From all of the ways I was chained by existence. So much joy that I know I've been missing. Just because I got these thoughts don't mean I gotta listen. Let go of them now, run away, don't revisit. I'm gifted but cursed, every blessing feels twisted. Cut ties with the only breakthrough with no limits. And hopefully one day God gives me permission to finally have all my wishes and visions. No more misery or sin. Until then I'ma keep on killing these tracks till I'm finished with healing myself back to aura that glistens. Lonely lullaby, take me to another place other than my mind. I just want to fly away to somewhere happier, yellow candy sky. Every time I close my eyes, I like it better than my life. I'm honestly just hurting way too much and I'm sorry. Yeah, so sorry.
Seth Porter, thank you so much for sharing that. Seth Porter's all over on TikTok and Instagram. We have his links up at the Life Changes Show page for Seth Porter, just like it sounds, P-O-R-T-E-R. Speaking of thank you, Seth, I feel like saying thank you to your ninth grade teacher. Why, you want to share with the audience why I say that?
Sure. So in high school, I faced a lot of bullying. I was a really small kid. I was 5'2", and I didn't hit my growth spurt until after high school. So there's a lot of kids who picked on me regularly, physically. It was really difficult. And my ninth grade teacher saw that I had a passion for writing, and she saw that I was good at it. So she'd invite me into her room every lunch, and we'd sit and we'd write poetry, and she'd make edits with me. And I feel like that's really where I learned how to write.
It sounds like it's in your music. It's in your lyrics. And your music, you've had a lot of influences. Interestingly, the influences that you talked about, there's a word that kept coming up when I'd ask you why this person, why that person. You probably know exactly the word. The word was vulnerability. Tell me why that's important to you as an artist or as a person.
Yeah, I think that being vulnerable is the most important thing that you can do for your art. I look at a lot of artists that I'm inspired by, Machine Gun Kelly, Eminem, and I think the reason why I connected to them when I was young is because they were so vulnerable and they were willing to speak about hard things that they were going through. They were willing to be honest, and I really connected with that. And I think that that's true with a lot of the artists that I really like, and I like artists who aren't vulnerable as well. But I think that if those artists were to tap into their vulnerable side, I think that people would really appreciate it, and it would actually elevate their craft.
Have you met with, or as part of the community, have you also supported other young artists? And if so, what have you said to them?
Yes. So I actually mentor a number of youth in music currently. And
nice.
We use it as a
Okay.
Yeah, I do it as a part of the Inspiring Children Foundation. And we heal through music. We write music. And it's really powerful for me to be able to give back to that community because they've given so much to me.
I have a feeling they're going to be listening to this. So what do you want to say to them right here, right now?
I'd like to say that they are all great, and I'm so thankful to be able to work with them. All of them are so talented and sensitive and unique, and it's really the biggest blessing in my life that I get to work with them.
And there's that other word that's come up a couple times, sensitive. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm a sensitive individual. I think that a lot of people are sensitive, but I would consider myself to be highly sensitive. I really feel a lot of emotions, and it's clear that I put those emotions into my music. And for a long time, that was the only way that I knew how to cope. You know, we talked about my English teacher. The only way for me to cope with my emotions and avoid the outside world at times was to write. And so, yeah, as a highly sensitive person, poetry has become my escape. And it's been that way for a really long time. And that turned into music. And at first, the music wasn't any good because, like anybody doing something for the first time, it's never going to be perfect. But over the years, I've gotten better and I've been relentless and I work really hard at it. So, I really think that my music is a representation of me taking my emotions and turning them into something more, turning them into music that I consider to be pretty good.
Well, speaking of sensitivity and music and emotions, you have some really mature adult wisdom to share in this next song. I feel like a lot of people actually of any age could learn from what you're just about to tell us right now about the song we're going to hear.
Yeah, so the song is titled Better Off Friends, and I wrote it while I was healing from depression and anxiety and suicidal ideation. And I met this girl and she was beautiful and we had a lot of chemistry and it was just the greatest relationship, but I decided that it would be better if we were friends because both of us were not in a great place mentally and we needed to focus on our healing and ourselves before we could focus on a relationship. And so I feel like this song is kind of an anthem to anybody who feels alone or feels like they're not in a relationship because they have to focus on themselves. And at first I felt a lot of guilt for this. You know, there's this amazing girl that I've met and we really click, and I was blaming myself. And so there's emotions that I express in the song of self-blame and trying to sort through what I was feeling at the time. But the truth is, the reason why I felt guilty is because from the time we're young, we're sold on this fairy tale. We see it in movies, we see it everywhere, and we're told that we need to connect with that boy or that girl, and that's going to make us happy. And the truth is that we need to focus on ourselves before we focus on anything else, before we can take on another person. So I wrote this song about that, you know, really coping with the emotions of what it's like to be alone and have to focus on yourself and what it's like to, you know, turn down a relationship that in theory would be great, but you're just not ready for it.
Sounds like that whole human thing we've been hearing about. Inspiring inspiring children's tagline there. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for sharing this song. Before we hear it, is it out yet?
None of my songs are out yet.
No! These are,
but they will be out very soon, I promise. It's been 9 years in the making. There's a lot of moving pieces to get this right, and I want to get this perfect. So
Lonely Lullaby was a world premiere, and so is this one?
That's right.
Oh, yep. Wow. And you didn't say that. Here it is, world premiere. You heard it. You'll hear it here on the Life Changes Show for the first time ever. Here is Better Off Friends, Seth Porter. Seth Porter and Better Off Friends. Seth, I'm kind of hesitant to ask, are you still friends with the pretty girl in the purple?
Yes, we are still friends, and we have a beautiful spiritual friendship. And I think that that is the highest level of a relationship that you can have, is a spiritual friendship. You're there for each other, and you support each other, and there's no romantic drama that can get in the way of it.
Good for you both. And Seth, good for you. Looking forward to these songs coming out on radio. Thank you so much for sharing them on radio here tonight with us on the Life Changes Show. All the best to you, Seth, until next time soon. And again, he's on Instagram and he's on TikTok. Seth Porter, SethPorter. Find them, enjoy them. Thank you, Seth. All the best to you.
Thank you. You as well.
And with that big thank you to Seth Porter, we also give another big thank you to Ryan Wolfington and inspiringchildren.org for introducing us to Seth and also for being with us here on the Life Changes Show tonight. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.